You may be seated. I want to thank Brother Steve Odom for being here today, for playing those drums. Didn't he do a great job? Appreciate it, brother. Matter of fact, the first set of drums we ever had, you gave those to us when we were at the other campus. Amen. We just thank God for Brother Steve. Amen. But you know, many people think that the grace of God is a license to sin. Nothing could be further than the truth. Grace is given to us, and it gives us the power to live above sin. Grace teaches us. Grace is actually a teacher. Paul said, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world." Why? Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might purify us unto himself, a peculiar people, zealous of good works. So it's God's amazing grace that helps us through the storms of life. Now, I want you to turn your Bible to John chapter 14, because in my text this morning, Jesus is saying farewell to his disciples. So I want to talk about the true marks, the marks of a true disciple. Jesus said the world cannot receive him. He has promised to send the Holy Ghost, another comforter, the Spirit of truth. He said, and when he comes, he's going to abide with you forever. In other words, he's not going to show up on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night or in revival. He is coming to make his dwelling inside of his people. And Jesus said the world cannot receive him because they cannot see him, neither do they know him. And Jesus said, but you know him because he dwells with you and shall be in you. And then Jesus said, I will not leave you comfortless, but I will come unto you. Which brings me to my text, John 14, verse 19. Jesus said, yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, you also shall live. And at that day, you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. What a powerful statement. Jesus said, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, look at that, if you keep his commandments, he it is that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Now, look at verse 22. I had completed this sermon, I thought, and I got up this morning and the Spirit of God spoke to me while I was getting ready and meditating on what I was going to preach today. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot. Judas, not Iscariot. That's a significant statement there, not Iscariot. Because Judas Iscariot was not a true disciple. I'm talking about the marks of a true disciple. It was in, and I went back and researched it this morning. In John chapter 13, Judas, that's where he betrayed Jesus. So John the Revelator, John the Beloved in this case, who's writing to us, John that loved Jesus so much, he wants to make a distinction that Judas Iscariot is not a true disciple. Because he betrayed the Lord. Now look at verse 22. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. We will come unto him and make our abode or make our dwelling or make our home with him. I'm going to repeat verse 23 over and over in this message. And I'm going to build upon that because in this passage, Jesus is making a distinction between the world and between his disciples. The Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of the Father shall abide forever. There's that word abide, that dwelling place. Hallelujah. So Judas said, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? And Jesus said, if anyone loves me, he will keep my words. and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and we'll make our abode, our home, our dwelling place with him. My subject this morning, the marks of a true disciple. The marks of a true disciple. Brother Philip, would you come and ask God's blessings upon this message? And give us a listening ear and anoint me, please.
Father God, we thank you today for this day that's provided for us to rest our bodies, to feed our souls. And we pray, God, that you would touch this very morning. We pray the Holy Spirit, a special anointing upon this congregation and upon those that are listening through the media, and a double portion anointing for our pastor this morning to deliver to us the oracles of God. Help us, Lord, today that your word would have its profound effect upon our lives that you intend for it to. Help us, Lord, we pray, to listen, to take it into our hearts and to live by it. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, my brother. Hallelujah. You know, there are five important facts that Jesus gave on this occasion. I'm going to list those for you and build my sermon upon them. First of all, Jesus said he would reveal himself to his disciples and not to the world. Jesus said, I'm going to reveal myself to my disciples, but not to the world. So what is the distinguishing mark between a disciple and the world? Well, look at John 14:23 again. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. The answer to that question I just posed, it is keeping God's word. True disciples keep the word of God. They are not identified by a denominational tag. They are not identified by a religious affiliation. But a true disciple is marked by the way that they relate to God's word. Can I get a witness out there? Hallelujah. That's what makes you or prevents you from being a true disciple. How do you relate to God's word? Amen. See, it's your relationship with the word. Keeping God's word distinguishes the true disciple from those of the world. And every one of us, my friends, we fit into one of those two categories. If we are true disciples, we keep the word of God. That's powerful, my friends. We keep God's word. Hallelujah. Now, God is a good God, and God wants us to keep his word. He wants to bless us, and you cannot be blessed if you break God's word. God cannot bless me if I keep the word, and bless you if you don't keep the word. He would not be a just God. If you keep the word and I don't keep the word, God cannot bless me, not that portion of my life. He wants to, but all of it hinges upon the fact of whether or not you keep God's word. If we don't keep the word of God, we belong to the world. Now, I didn't say that. This is Jesus preaching here. Jesus said that there's something going to distinguish you between the world and the true disciple. If we don't keep the word, we belong to the world, and the world is not under the lordship of Jesus Christ. I said the world is not under the lordship of Jesus Christ. Now, the second truth that Jesus said, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. So we're going to look at it from another aspect, keeping the word. So keeping God's word is the supreme test of a disciple's love for Jesus. And for God. Jesus is God. Look at John 14:23 again. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. So love is the motivating factor for the believer. I said love is the motivating factor for the believer. As believers, we are not motivated by fear. We are motivated by our love for God. I mean, you just heard a great testimony. What was it that changed that man's life so radically? He experienced the love of God. He came out of darkness into the marvelous light. He had a taste. The Bible said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. He had a taste and he said, I want some more. I think I'll just walk with God. I'm going to love God. I'm going to keep his word. I'm going to be a true disciple. Hallelujah. So as believers, we are not motivated by fear, my friend. If you have ever been born again, you should be motivated by love. Jesus Christ loved you so much. He went to an old rugged cross. The Father loved you so much. He spared not his own son. He delivered him up for us all. And the Bible says, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Glory to God. Go on and praise the Master. Hallelujah. Now, in a sense, the law is the motivation for fear. If you do this, you become this. But that doesn't work. But the nation of Israel, they feared God, but they could not keep God's law. They told Moses at Mount Sinai that the thunder and the lightning, it put fear in their hearts. And they said, Moses, you speak to God, and we'll hear you, Moses. But we are afraid of God. They didn't love God. The nation of Israel feared God. And that was the whole purpose of redemption. God wanted a people that would love him. See, God is love. He wants us to love him back. Hallelujah. He wants us to show our love by obeying his word. Hallelujah. See, the problem in the old covenant was man's heart was not right with God. Let me say that again. The problem in the old covenant with the nation of Israel is man's heart was not right with God. And the entire new covenant centers upon one thing, that is man's heart being made right with God, a new creation in Christ, so we can be equipped to know God, to obey God, and to serve God. Paul said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Christ Jesus and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as God did beseech you. Talk to the world and tell them, through us, we pray you in God's stead, that Christ's stead, that you be reconciled to God. That was the whole purpose. God wanted a people that would love him from their hearts. It's the condition of the heart. A new heart given by God. That's what the entire new covenant hinges upon. Now, I want you to listen to the prophet Jeremiah. The prophets of old, they were seers. And he's looking into the future. And he sees and foretells about our redemption. In the fullness of time, God sent his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem those that were under the law. And the prophet Jeremiah, he sees what God is going to do. And look at Jeremiah 31:33. Here's what Jeremiah recorded under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law, look at this, in their inward parts, in their spirit, and write them in their hearts, the spirit of man, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. Jeremiah telescoped through time and saw. Now, Isaiah saw the entire process of redemption in Isaiah 53. He tells us about him being wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. Well, we are healed. That was a prophecy. And when you go to Matthew chapter 8, verse 17, put Matthew 8, 17 up there. So we have a prophecy. Matthew 8, 17, please. We have a prophecy that Jesus is coming 700 years before he was ever born as a baby in a manger. Matthew 8:17. It says, the backdrop is that when the evil was come, Jesus is at Peter's house. Peter's mother-in-law is sick, and they find out that he's there. And so they bring the sick to Jesus. And the Bible says he cast out the spirit with his word, healed all that was sick. Here it is. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah, the prophet, saying himself took our infirmity and bare our sicknesses. So what I want you to see is what a revelation these men are getting. And most of the church has never gotten it today. The revelation. Now go to 1 Peter 2:24. I want you to see 1 Peter 2:24, because we have a prophecy in Isaiah 53. In Matthew 8:17, we have the fulfillment of that. I just read it to you, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet. But look at 1 Peter 2:24. I want to show you something, and I hope you get a hold of this, because it's new to me, okay? I've known it, but I know it better now. So this is no longer a prophecy, no longer the fulfillment. This is a fact. Jesus Christ has been to the cross. He has shed his precious blood so he can make true disciples, give them a new heart. He says, who his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree, on the cross, that we being dead to sin, Paul said, sin shall not have dominion over you. We being dead to sin, Paul said, you are the righteousness of God in Christ, should live unto righteousness. Peter's giving us some revelation here. And look at this, by whose stripes you were healed. So you were healed. I was healed. It's a fact. It's not a prophecy. It's not a fulfillment. It is a fact. So why do we have sickness? Well, why do you have sin in the world? Paul said, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of eternal life. So fight the good fight of faith. You could say this, lay hold of divine healing. You could say, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of the more abundant life. So I wanted you to see that these prophets, they're seeing stuff that some people don't even see today. You got to rightly divide. You've got to become a student of the Word. You've got to study the Word, and God gives it to us. Hallelujah. Now, I want you to look at the prophet Ezekiel, because he saw this new heart. He saw this new creation as it was going to come into being. Ezekiel 11:19, God said, I will give them one heart. Isn't that beautiful? I will put a new spirit within you. I will take the stony heart out of the flesh and give them a heart of flesh. Why, God? Why would the prophet say this? Look at verse 20. That they may walk in my statutes and keep my ordinances and do them, that they may be my people and I will be their God. Woo! Glory! What a revelation that these men are seeing. Yet they could not partake of it. They only had a promissory note waiting for the redemption that would come through Jesus Christ. But today we have a new and a better covenant established upon better promises. And all God's promises are yes and amen. Somebody go and praise him. Hallelujah. But what I want you to see is that love is the motivation for the true disciple. And Jesus gives us his supernatural life through the new birth. And his life was a life of obedience and holiness. I said, Jesus gives us his life. Paul says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Paul said, you're the temple of the living God. God said, I'll walk in them. I'll dwell in them. I'll be their God. They'll be my people. Isn't that powerful? So Jesus gives us his supernatural life in us through the new birth, so we can walk in obedience and in holiness. See, God makes it possible for us to obey him. I hope you're getting that. God makes it possible. You are dead to sin. You might not have realized it, but sin no longer has dominion over you if you have experienced a new birth. I said, when that boy got born again, it's all right, I call you boy son. When he got born again, a new life come into him. Hallelujah. And he was motivated by love because his whole nature was changed. It was changed from nature to grace. He became a partaker of God's divine nature, came out of darkness into the marvelous light, testifying in the church with his family, living the more abundant life. Hallelujah. God is love. And love is what identifies the true disciple. The Holy Ghost, he liberates us. I love that. He liberates us from the law and he releases us into God's amazing grace and the very life that is in Jesus Christ. So much so the Bible says we're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Hallelujah. See, it's the love of God that's been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost when we were born again. nothing could help man until the law was replaced by the word of promise. I will put my spirit within you. That should liberate you. You are no longer your own. You are bought with a price. Therefore, you should glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You have been purchased, my friend, by the blood of Jesus. And when God puts his spirit within us, then he makes it possible for us to obey him. The things I used to do, I don't do no more. The place I used to go, I don't go no more. There's been a change in his life of mine since the Lord laid his hands on me. There's been a change in his life of mine since the Lord laid his hands on me. The things I used to do, I don't do no more since the Lord laid his hands on me. The place I used to go, I don't go no more since the Lord laid his hand on me. Hallelujah. Let's stand and give Jesus a standing ovation. He laid his hand upon you. Glory to God. He laid his hand just like he did on John. And fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I'm alive forevermore. And I have come to make my abode and my tabernacle in you. Hallelujah. When God puts his spirit in you, it makes it possible for you to serve and obey him. Now, I have three children. They're all grown and gone. They're off my payroll. Praise God for that. Hallelujah. But while they lived under my control and under my roof, as a parent, I could use fear to some degree to motivate them. But I didn't want them to be motivated by their fear of me. I wanted them to be motivated by my love for them. I wanted my children to know your daddy loves you. Because once your children leave your control, if they are motivated by fear, they will change when they get out there. They may not even call you. They may dislike you so much because of what you did and you didn't love them that they never call you. So the thing you must realize is you need to motivate people by your love for them. The only motivation that will keep your children faithful and loyal to you and to your family is love. It's love. And God the Father and God the Son, they were wise enough not to build the foundation on fear, but to build their foundation on love. For God so loved the world, he gave. God is love. It's just his nature to love us. And if God be for you, who can be against you? Love God. My friends. So keeping God's word is the supreme test for the disciples' love for God. Jesus said, if anyone loves me, he will keep my words. So love is the motivation, my friends, for obedience. Thirdly, Jesus said, if anyone loves me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. Look at John 14:23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. You know, it's a wonderful thing when you realize that God loves you. When I got saved, it was such a transformation. I told my daddy, I said, Daddy, I didn't know how much God loved me. I'd fought combat. I'd been home for 17 years, but I was still struggling. I didn't even like me. I didn't like what I had become. I tried, but I didn't like me. But when I surrendered my life to Jesus Christ, when that happened to me, glory to God, all of a sudden I realized God really loves you, Jerry Nelson. Hallelujah. It transformed my life. I cannot tell you. I'm going to tell you something. The new birth is so wonderful. It is so powerful. to know the love of God, to know that he would choose you. And he said, you've not chosen me. You didn't go looking for God. He said, you've not chosen me, but I've chosen you and I've ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you ask of the Father, he will give it you. God is a good God. I cannot preach that enough. God is a good God. God is love. He's for you. He loves you. Hallelujah. Keeping God's word is what God causes God to love you, my friends, in a special way. Well, you're thinking, well, God is no respecter person. Let me say that again. Keeping God's word is what causes God to love you in a special way. Now, God loves the whole world in a certain way. He gave his only begotten son to save the world. God is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. But God has a different degree and a different kind of love for the true disciple of Jesus, those who keep his word. Hallelujah. Think about that. God has a different degree and a special type of love. I just read it to you. For those that keep his word. Now, Jesus is the word. He's the Logos. I hold in my hand the Bible, the word. You cannot separate the two of them, my friend. Jesus said, if you love me, you keep my word. I love old Jeremiah. I'll quote him. He said, thy words were found, and I did eat them. And that word was unto me, the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Why, Jeremiah? Because I am called by thy name, O Lord of God of hosts. Jeremiah said, God, I can't go preach. He said, I'm just a little boy. I'm just a little child. God said, I knew you before you were in your mother's womb, and I've ordained you. Aren't you glad that you're in church today, that God knew who you were, God knew where you were, and God came licking you, and God saved you and put his spirit within you. Go on, praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we have the question that Judas asked. How will you manifest yourself to us and not to the world, Jesus? And Jesus' answer is this. If a man loves me, he will keep my words. It didn't say word. It says words, plural. You will obey everything he says in his word. Now, I'm going to say it again. Jesus is the word. He's the Logos, the eternal word of God. This, my friend, is the Bible, the Holy Bible, the infallible, true, inerrant word of God. This is how you live your life. This is the instruction manual. Basic instructions, Bible, before leaving planet Earth. Hallelujah. Do you want the more abundant life that Jesus came to bring? Then seek God, and we seek him through his word. Hallelujah. You cannot separate Jesus from the living word, the Bible. You cannot separate the living word, Jesus. It is a living word, this Bible, from the written word. Jesus is in the wilderness, and the devil comes to him, and he said, it is written. Three times. He said, it is written. Now, I get, the Holy Ghost talks to me. I know he talks to you too. But I was looking up something. If you would look up Galatians 3:13, please. Galatians 3:13. I want you to see this, because I want you to know you've been redeemed from the curse of the law. Galatians 3:13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written. You see, that is written. Now, Jesus defeated the devil with it is written. Now, I want you to get a hold of this, because it's new to me, but I'll share it with you. It is written. Cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. The curse of that old law is in Deuteronomy chapter 28. But every time Jesus quoted those Three times it is written. Guess what? It came out of the book of Deuteronomy. That got me to thinking. I just wonder, Lord, is this that Paul is quoting, is that in the book of Deuteronomy? And I looked it up, and guess what? It is. So if you want to know something, if the living word, Jesus Christ, the Logos, used the word to defeat the devil, the written word, take out the sword of the Spirit, go against your enemy, learn the word, learn what's in it, and rise up, my friends, in the name of Jesus, to the more abundant life that he came to bring through Calvary. He put his laws in our heart. He put a new heart in us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Jesus said, the works I do, they're not my works. I want you to look at this verse right here, because Jesus was obedient. And he gives us the power through his life being in us to be obedient. Hebrews 10 and 7. Now, the writer of Hebrews, is Jesus is speaking there, here. Hebrews 10 and 7. Then said I, this is Jesus, lo, I come in the volume of the books, as that word, it is written to me, to do thy will, O God. Now, Jesus is speaking here, and if you really study Jesus' sermons and what he does, he's quoting Old Testament a lot of time. Jesus is quoting Psalms 40, verse 7. In the volume of the book, it is written of me. Jesus is the living word, and he obeyed the Father's word. Jesus said, the works I do, they're not my works. They're the works of him that sent me. He said, I have come to do the Father's will. And he was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He wholly, totally, completely obeyed the Father's will. Sounds like old Caleb, doesn't it? Hallelujah. But this is Jesus. He wholly, completely, totally obeyed the Father's will. He said, I have come to do the Father's will. He said, I have the power to lay my life down. I have the power to take it up again. And then he makes this profound statement. This commandment have I received from my Father. And he willingly went to the cross. And he redeemed us with his precious blood. Hallelujah. And because of that, God highly exalted him and gave him a name above every name. And that name is Jesus. And Jesus has given us the authority to use his name and to establish his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Glory to God. Jesus kept the Father's word. And we should keep God's word, because keeping God's word is what makes God the Father love you with a special love. I want you to know you are not like the world, and you don't need to be like some Christians. You need to obey God's word completely and make a total surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. I look at my life. I just decided I give up, God. Give up and let Jesus take over. Give up and let Jesus take over. I said, give up and let Jesus take over. And he will make a way for you. Yes, he will. And God will treat you with a special love because you keep his words. Go on, praise God. Hallelujah. Fourthly, Jesus said, if any man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him. Now look at John 14:23 again. Jesus answered and said unto him, if any man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him. So how does Jesus manifest himself to us? It's through the word. It's through the keeping of God's word that we get to know Jesus better. It's through keeping God's word that the Father casts a special eye upon you and your children, your household, and everything that affects your life. You know, I could preach on sanctification, but I like this one a whole lot better. Hallelujah. So we can have some wonderful spiritual experiences, church. I've had them, dreams, visions. I've had times when I didn't even know whether I was in the world or out of it, left my body one night from 7 to 3 o'clock when I woke up. I don't know where I was. Whether in the body, out of the body, I don't know. I just know one thing. When I come out of that place, I was filled with the Holy Ghost. And, man, my whole life was changed. But we can receive tremendous revelation that way, but that is not the basis by which God reveals himself to his people. You may have an experience like that, and you may not. God reveals himself to us through the written word of God. That is the basis, my friend, the word of God, for how the Lord will reveal himself. God reveals himself through his word. The prophet said a little here and a little there, line upon line, precept upon precept. That's how God reveals himself. So don't ever neglect your Bible. Your Bible is the key to your health. It is the key to your wealth. It is the key to your well-being. It is the key to your success. It is the key to your eternal destiny, because the provisions of God, they are all in the promises of God. And if you can believe them, you can get some wonderful things from God. And if you don't believe them, you'll live a mediocre life. I just chose, like old Joshua, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I'm going to believe God no matter how things look. I believe God. Go on, praise him. Hallelujah. Don't ever neglect your Bible. All his promises are yes and amen. So the provision comes through Jesus, and he is the word. Fifthly and finally, Jesus said, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode, our home, our dwelling place with him. Now look at John 14:23. I built this thing. Finally. Jesus answered and said unto him, John 14:23, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. Woo! And we will come unto him. And it's not stated, what you call an inference in the line. And we will make our abode with him. It's an inference. It's inferred. It's not stated. But if you were to state it, it would read like this. We will come unto him, my Father and I, and we will make our abode with him. This is one of the few places in the entire Bible where the plural pronoun is used for Jesus and the Father. One of the very few places in the Bible. Jesus said, we, meaning the Father and I. Woo, glory. Woo, glory. We will come. Look inside you. We will come and make our tabernacle, our abode, our dwelling place inside of dirt, human dirt. It's been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Glory. Woo. Hallelujah. Glory. Glory, glory. That is an amazing, breathtaking statement that God the Father and God the Son would come to dwell and to live inside of us. Oh, my Lord, can you see what God has done for us when he sent his Son to the cross and Jesus willingly gave himself as a sacrifice? God spared not his own Son. He said, if I'll give him for you to redeem you, I will give you anything you will believe me for. Go on, praise him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I just decided I'd use my faith. I've had people tell me, said, oh, God doesn't do stuff like that. God doesn't do stuff like this. And I've just walked by and said, I'll see you later. I believe God. Thank you, Lord. All your promises are true. Hallelujah. Glory, glory. Some of them hadn't figured it out yet. Woo! I got a hold of the word. He got a hold of me. Glory. I tell you, obey God. the blessings will show up. David said it like this, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Woo! They hunt me down as a hunting term. They shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell. Oh, all of this in heaven too. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Glory to God. My. So the question is this. How does all this come about that I'm talking about? How do we get God the Father and God the Son to make their personal dwelling in us? It's through the Word. It's the Word. If we're not lovers of the Word, if we are not obedient unto the Word, God will not make His dwelling in us. Let me repeat that. Jesus said it now. I'm preaching His sermon. I'm just reiterating what He said. If we are not lovers of the Word, if we are not obedient unto the Word, God will not make His dwelling place with us. And here, my friend, is a solemn thought. You do not love God more than you love His Word. Let me say that again. You go back and read that text. Read John 14:23 over and over and over. Because you do not love God more than you love His Word. So if you want to know how much you really love God, if I want to know how much faith God has in my life, I can find out. And you can find out. It is not something, my friends, that you need to speculate about. Just ask yourself this question. How much do I love the Bible? What place have I given the Bible in my life? Just answer those two questions. How much do I love the Bible? How much place do I give the Bible in my life? And I promise you something. If you will start seeking Him through this Word, you will find Him. When you search for Him with all your heart. I'm anointed to teach. I'm anointed to preach. I'm anointed to heal the sick in Jesus' name. He said, I want you to do what I did. I'm anointed to deliver the captive. But I am not your answer. Jesus, the Word. You will find your answer in a secret place. All alone with God. Because the place I give the Word in my life, that's as much as I love God. And that is as much place as I give God in my life. The Bible says, be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. I want to summarize what I've said because so many Christians live in somewhat of a twilight zone. I said, so many Christians live in a twilight zone. They don't know what light is, and they don't know what darkness is. They wish and they hope, but they really are not sure. And the reason is they have not given the Word its rightful place in their life. Don't neglect your Bible, my friends. It is the key to your health, the key to your wealth, your well-being, your success, and your eternal destiny. I close with this. It's the question that Judas asked, and I've repeated it over and over. Judas asked, Lord, how is it you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Look at John 14:23 again. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. He will keep my words. He will keep my words. If he loves me, he'll keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode, our tabernacle, our dwelling place with them. Let us stand. Hallelujah.
And I'm forgiven because you were forsaken.
Oh,
and
love you,
I'm
Lord.
Accepted. You were condemned. And I'm alive and well. Your spirit is within me. Because you died and rose again.
Woo! Glory!
Amazing love. How can it be,
Lord?
That you, King, would die for me.
Anybody in here, you're not saved, or you've drifted away from the Lord, and you want to come to this altar. You're watching
true.
By Facebook Live, and the Lord has spoken to you. Say, Jesus,
come
into my heart. I repent of my sin.
In all
I ask you to wash me in your blood. Make me a new creature.
Save
me, Lord.
I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. And I'm accepted. You were condemned. And I'm alive and well. Your spirit is within me because you died and rose again. Amazing love.
Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for loving me when I was unlovable. Thank you, Jesus, for redeeming me. Thank you, Father. Great love.
It's true.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
To honor you.
And I want to tell you something. If you fail, if you confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive you of that sin. Cast it into a sea of forgetfulness. He'll never bring it back up to you again. Don't let the devil hound you with your past. God is more interested in your future than he is in your past. Eyes not seen, ears not heard. It's not in the hearts of man the things God has prepared for those that love him. Just go on and love God and keep his words. Hallelujah.
It's true.
Woo!
And it's my joy to honor you.
Hallelujah!
In all I do. Oh, I honor you. Amazing.